Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be going through what to expect for Tesla's Q2 earnings report tomorrow. Of course, we'll have our live coverage of that as we usually do. Going through what to expect today, both from my estimates and from the consensus expectation, which I actually feel like there's a pretty big red flag within that I want to point out. And then we also do have a few other news items that we'll cover here quickly at the beginning. So starting off the market, obviously a really strong day for the Nasdaq today, up 3.1%. Tesla not quite keeping pace with that, underperforming most of the day, but still finishing up 2%, closing at $736.59 as we head into earnings tomorrow. After hours, we are seeing some slight increase in the stock price and the market in general. Not sure why there's that little dip on the visualization, but Tesla's up about 0.5%, was up about 1% earlier. As we had talked about yesterday, Netflix was scheduled to report earnings after hours today. They did beat expectations. We talked about how they had guided for a net decline in subscribers by about 2 million, and that only declined by about 1 million, so ahead of their guidance, and they did beat earnings expectations as well. So their stock is up after hours. That's helping out all sort of like tech and growth companies as well. So if anything, at least we don't get the down arrow from Netflix this time around like we did for Q1. The next thing, just quick thing here, Fremont today, Elon Musk announcing, has produced their 2 millionth vehicle. So I haven't had much time to analyze this in terms of where that would actually put Fremont's production so far this quarter. But you may remember that we had a hint like this when Tesla crossed the 1 millionth vehicle, and that allowed us to get a pretty good feel for what the kind of production rates for that quarter would be. Obviously, we're a little bit early here in Q3 to do a whole lot with that, but should still give us some a nice data point for Fremont. And of course, obviously, a really exciting milestone for the Tesla team. We've also got a little bit of news here on a supercharger version 4, which we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Here from Marco RP, again, sharing some more information on this. It's been spotted in the site plans for a new supercharger station, this new connector post. And although we don't know for sure that this would be a supercharger V4, that would seem to make sense. And this is kind of what Marco was saying before. Remember, we looked at roughly the dimensions. This is matching what he had posted previously. So kind of an interesting new look here for the supercharger. Looks a lot more like what we have seen from the mega chargers from Tesla at that Frito-Lay site. So it looks like that'll be kind of the new style for Tesla going forward. I don't think there are any specs here yet to tell us much about what that supercharger V4 would be capable of. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that. And then we just have a quick update here on the Twitter ongoing case. So, of course, as we had talked about this morning, both sides kind of made their case to the judge for the possible expedition of the trial or of the case. And that Twitter was asking for September, Elon was asking for something like February at the earliest. And they met somewhat in the middle, but definitely more towards Twitter side. The judge saying that they'll hold this case in October. So kind of like an 80%, 20% split there in Twitter's favor. They were looking for a 4-day trial. It'll be 5 days, so a little bit lengthier of a trial, which is more what Elon's arguing for. So we will get a quicker resolution on that than what it appeared from Musk's argument. So more to come on that. And then as we get into earnings here, just a quick reminder, you can go in if you're a Shareloft member and put in your forecast. I'll be curious to see people's expectations here and see how they track against mine as we get the results. And then the other thing I want to say, even before we start looking at any of the numbers, this quarter we know is a little bit of a write-off quarter, right? Like there's been these production shutdowns, there's this Bitcoin impairment, there's restructuring charges from layoffs. Everyone knows that this is not representative of how Tesla's business is going to look going forward. So the most important thing that's going to come out of this call is what Tesla has to say about the business going forward, particularly as it relates to production and supply chain. The last couple of quarters, Tesla has been relatively cautious in their comments on supply chain, saying we think it's getting a little bit better, but it's still going to be, you know, some period of time before everything is resolved. But we're coming off a really, really strong June for Tesla. They mentioned record production in the delivery release. So hopefully that'll be a signal of what is to come for Tesla in the second half of the year. And that's really what the market's going to be watching for, really the most important thing that we're going to get out of this for this earnings call and this earnings report. That being said, there are still a lot of things that are interesting that we can learn from in the financials. So let's go through those estimates here. Let me flip over to Excel. And we can take a look at my expectations. So I think you guys have all seen this before. We've got the trailing 12 months of actuals on the left, got my forecasts, and then we have analyst consensus. So I'm going to start at the top line, and then we're going to do something a little unusual and just jump right down to the bottom line because I want to get to that red flag that I was talking about. So here on the top line, you can see that if we look, this is the analyst consensus that is company compiled, by the way. So it's a compilation of 24 different analyst estimates. You can see here that I'm expecting the deliveries to be just like slightly higher than what Tesla had reported. But for analyst consensus, it's actually, you know, almost 800 vehicles higher. That just shows that some analysts haven't actually updated their model since the earnings or since the production and delivery release. So some of these numbers might be a little bit higher than sort of like what the true expectation would be. And I put that on here to kind of easily note that clearly some of them are not updated. So that being said, if we just hop down to total revenue here, I'm at about $16.6 billion, and we'll talk through some of the more detailed building up to that level of revenue, some of the more detailed components of that. But if we look at this, the analyst consensus is actually even a little bit higher than me at almost $16.7 billion. So I'm about 1% lower than that, which I actually find pretty surprising because I have average selling prices increasing very significantly this quarter, again, which we'll talk about in a second. Energy and services, I'm lower on energy, higher on services. Those basically wash out. So most of the difference here coming from automotive revenue. Regulatory credits, again, we're pretty comparable. So we'll come back to that stuff in a second. So pretty similar on the top line. If we go down to the bottom line, then it also looks very similar. So I am at $1.86 for non-GAAP earnings per share. Yeah, spoiler alert, normally we save that till the end. But I just want to make this point because the consensus estimate is at $1.77. So it's like, okay, consensus a little bit higher on revenue. I'm a little bit higher on earnings per share, but relatively in the same ballpark here with earnings. So, you know, is there really anything interesting here to talk about? Turns out, yes, there is, because even though the bottom line and top line look really similar, the components and how this is coming together, this whole entire model, we're looking very, very, very different here. So I want to walk through that, and really that sits on the profitability line. So I'll just go ahead and unhide all of my estimates here from gross profit perspective, from a gross margin perspective, which I think you guys know this is always the first thing I'm looking at is automotive gross margin X credits. No different this quarter, as that is going to be what's going to tell us kind of the most about what's going on with Tesla's business. So if we look at automotive profit here, even though I'm a little bit lower on revenue, I have about $400 million more in automotive gross profit, or in total gross profit rather, than the analyst consensus. So what that means is that while analysts are expecting a 26.2% automotive gross margin excluding regulatory credits, which is usually where we like to look first, I'm at about 29.1%. So 290 basis points or about 3 full percentage points higher, which is driving my total gross profit up significantly. So how is that happening? That's, you know, I'm so much higher in gross profit, even though my revenue is lower, and yet we're still coming out with similar earnings per share numbers. Well, many of you are probably putting this together already, but it's because of operating expenses and a huge difference here in what we're expecting for operating expenses. Now, normally these lines are not really all that different because normally research and development, SG&A, it's not the most difficult thing to predict. It might vary $100 million on each line or something like that. And now that I say that, I'll probably be way off this quarter, but usually these are relatively straightforward to forecast. It's a pretty linear progression most of the time. There's always stock-based compensation stuff, but a lot of that is now worked through with Elon Musk's plan. So we should be relatively close, but we're not. And what that suggests is that although we can't see it in the forecast, it suggests that almost every analyst is not including Bitcoin impairment in their forecast. So in my forecast, I'm counting that as a $477 million charge that has Bitcoin, the carrying value of Bitcoin, which Tesla needs to always mark at the lowest point that Bitcoin traded at during the quarter. I have that going from about $1.26 billion down to like $780 million. I don't remember the exact number, but it's a $477 million decline is what I'm expecting. And that's going to happen regardless of what happened with Bitcoin's price since it hits that low. Tesla always has to account for it at that low as long as that's lower than whatever the previous low in some other quarter was, because that previous low would be what they're already accounting the carrying value at. So with this Bitcoin impairment, that's basically, you know, inflating my operating expenses, but not inflating the operating expenses of analysts, which makes these numbers down at the bottom, our final net income, our final earnings per share numbers, even though they look super similar, same as the top line, our forecasts here are extremely, extremely different. And why I call this a red flag is because a lot of how this gets covered and interpreted is going to be determined based on, you know, how Tesla comes in versus expectations, right? So people are going to look at that bottom line number, see how Tesla comes in. If they come in at $1.77, it would seem like it was right on analyst consensus, but that is not what's actually going to be the case, because this Bitcoin impairment is going to happen. Like, that's a known thing. It's just simple math. It might vary, you know, $10, $20 million from my forecast here, but that's going to happen. If that does happen, basically what would be, you know, the operating expenses with that Bitcoin impairment are going to be way higher than what Wall Street is expecting, unless Wall Street for some reason was expecting some huge decline in research and development and SG&A costs, which there would be no reason to do. So point being is that it's just going to, the estimate here is extremely inflated because of that missing cost. And if Tesla comes in with that cost included and hits this number, it's a huge beat, even though it looks like, you know, Tesla is just right on consensus. So hopefully that makes sense. It's I don't know why analysts don't include this. It's so easy. Very simple calculation to do this. Obviously, you can then back the number out, which many people would be doing and should be doing. But it just, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to not include it to me, at least, you know, in the forecast, because again, it's hitting operating expenses, it's hitting earnings per share, it's hitting margins, including operating margins. So just really doesn't make much sense. Now, I don't want to harp on that all day. So let's go back and kind of talk about how this is really coming together from more of a bottoms-up perspective. We won't spend a ton of time on this because, again, not necessarily the most impactful quarter in terms of how the financials come in, but it's still, it is an interesting indicator of where things could go from here, where particularly revenues and gross margins come in at. So starting with revenues, let me slide my notes over here a little bit. Make sure you guys can see that okay. So we'll just go kind of bucket by bucket. So revenues, obviously we know the deliveries. So there's not going to be a whole lot of variability here in where the revenue comes in, except for from average selling prices. And I'm actually surprised that Wall Street's higher than me, because I actually have a pretty significant increase in average selling prices forecast. You can see my bottom line number here is that I'm expecting a $2,800 increase quarter over quarter for Q2 from Q1. Versus an average selling price of increase of just $700 in the first quarter. Now, what's driving that is that I've got, you know, like we've talked about for the previous quarters, we've got price increases that likely are continuing to hit. As Tesla's had this huge order backlog, it takes time for all the price increases that we've seen from Tesla over the last year to actually come into the financials as those orders finally come up and come due. We've got prioritization of higher trims. We've heard a lot about Tesla doing that, moving away from the standard range vehicles, particularly in the US, going more towards the long range or performance vehicles. So that's definitely helping with mix. And then we also just have a vehicle mix shift between Model Y, Model S, and Model X, with Model S and X increasing and Model Y increasing as a percent of the mix, Model 3 going down. So this quarter, these are estimates. Tesla doesn't break it down, you know, completely, but I'm at 39% of sales vehicle deliveries being Model 3 versus 42% in the first quarter. And that might not sound like a huge difference, like it's only a 3% difference in mix, but that's actually a $500 change in my model in average selling price for the entire business. Just that small 3% mix shift. And that's almost exactly, or you know, that's almost the entirety of what we saw in the first quarter could be accounted for just from that mix shift alone. That's just Model 3. It doesn't even account for S and X. So that's a huge component. And the other huge component, which is even bigger, is that with the Shanghai shutdown, we have less deliveries in China than we did in the first quarter. So Shanghai accounted for about 44% of production in Q2 versus about 60% of production in the first quarter. So with that, you've got, you know, Shanghai margins are actually probably comparable or stronger even with a lower average selling price. But when we're talking about top line sales here, that reduction or that production shutdown and reduction in sales out of Shanghai, that should be a pretty big boost to average selling price this quarter. So even though it looks like I've got a huge increase here of $2,800, almost half of that, or probably even a little bit more than half of that, is simply from mix shift, not even accounting for increased prices actually hitting the books. So that would be about the, you know, the other half, maybe saying, okay, each vehicle has about a $1,000 or $1,500 increase on it. So even though this is a huge increase, I actually think it's still relatively plausible. But the top line number, that's going to be very interesting to see, because that'll give us a really good idea of how these average selling prices are progressing. And again, what we're looking for here is how the business looks going forward. Average selling price trends give us some insight into how that shapes up. Okay, so cost of goods sold, we don't need to spend much time on that because we've been talking about it all quarter. Obviously, we have the start and stop inefficiencies from, you know, production shutdowns in China. Materials, sourcing costs, those have probably been on the rise throughout the second quarter, certainly. I do think sourcing and logistics costs are starting to trend down for the third quarter, but probably still an increase in costs in the second quarter. Mix shifts, so anytime you shift to a more expensive vehicle, that's going to carry more expensive costs too. And then you've got Giga Berlin and Texas ramping up. So that's really the biggest unknown. And when we, you know, we're kind of looking at my gross margins here, part of what the street is expecting is this lower gross margin because of the ramps at Berlin and Texas. But, you know, when you're looking at a $400 million difference, I don't think Berlin and Texas are going to be that big of a hit. We already had some of that hit in the first quarter from Berlin. I think Tesla, you know, maybe a $100 million hit from that. They talked about putting that a little bit into R&D, or they talked about that being part of why R&D was a little bit elevated, which we can see here it rose by, you know, $100 million quarter over quarter. But still, that's not even that far off of the trend. So I really don't think that we're going to see a huge hit from that, but we certainly could. And I think if my expectations on the margin line miss here, that's probably the most likely culprit. And again, this is why we go through the forecast in these levels, because we can learn things from, you know, these details about the business. It's not just, you know, trying to make good estimates for the sake of having good estimates. It's really just to walk through and make sure that we're understanding the business and how all the parts work together. So anyway, average cost of goods sold, I have increasing by $2,500, which, you know, even though that's a little bit less than my average selling price increase, it still would be a gross margin decline. Very slightly. Obviously, we saw about a 30% gross margin ex credits in the first quarter, a huge gross margin including credits because we had the huge regulatory credit windfall, I guess, in the first quarter. That's why we focus in on the ex credit line. But I have that declining 90 basis points just because of basically Berlin and Texas. Wall Street, on the other hand, has it declining by, you know, 380 basis points. So that's really the biggest difference in our forecast, as well as that Bitcoin impairment. And that's super material because that has a huge impact on how, you know, the rest of the year and even next year ends up being forecast. If Tesla comes in at a 26% margin, I'm going to have to go in and lower my estimates for the second half, most likely. If Tesla comes in at a 29 or potentially even higher, like I definitely think that's a possibility. I'll keep my forecast and Wall Street will have to bring theirs up. So in addition to Tesla's guidance, that's going to be the biggest thing that ends up shaping how expectations are keyed in on for the next, you know, couple of quarters at least. So can't emphasize enough how critical that number is. Top line sales, pretty important too, as that'll shape the exact same sort of modeling for the second half of the year. All right, so the expenses, again, we talked through this. R&D, I have declining a little bit, as, you know, Tesla, I think, put a little bit of the cost for Berlin in there. Maybe they do that again for Texas here. Could certainly happen. So we could see an increase on that line. It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm at $840 million. SG&A, I do have increasing, slightly decreasing. The reason for that is because Tesla actually doesn't have this $48 million of stock-based compensation directed towards Elon this quarter. I think there's, I don't remember exactly, but there's maybe like $34 million left or something like that. And that should happen over a couple of different quarters, I believe, and I'm forecasting for none of it this quarter. So that'd be why SG&A is declining. I would have the rest of my SG&A costs increasing, excluding that. And then, yeah, the Bitcoin impairment, $477 million. I also have about a $50 million charge here for restructuring costs. So we talked about that before. Two previous instances where Tesla had layoffs, it looked like the restructuring costs had been somewhere in between like $50 million and $120 million, I think. So I may be a little bit on the low end there with the restructuring costs, but it is likely something that Tesla will have to account for this quarter, which again, Wall Street probably not putting into their forecasts at this point. So even though my operating expenses come in higher here, if you just take out Bitcoin, you take out this restructuring, I mean, you can see this would drop to about 1.8 billion versus Wall Street at 2 billion. And I would be having, I already have a higher operating margin, even with less revenue, but that would make things, pretty significantly different. I think excluding Bitcoin, it was somewhere in the mid 15% range. And again, you can see how different that is than Wall Street because they are excluding it for the most part, and they're at about a 12% margin. So just like we see a pretty stark difference here on the gross margin line, that would carry through to operating margin, but even to a greater extent, if that Bitcoin number, was excluded in my forecast as well. Right, so getting into sort of the bottom line numbers, obviously we already talked about this, so we'll come back to the notes there as well. But EBITDA, I have declining from Q1. Obviously, no surprise with fewer deliveries, but still a healthy 3.4 billion. I do still have that up year over year, so up 38%. Non-GAAP net income at about 2.2 billion, also up 35%. Stock-based compensation, we talked a little bit about that. GAAP net income up 57% year over year, but of course down significantly quarter over quarter. So when we're looking at these earnings per share numbers then, and we, like we normally talk about, looking at the trailing 12 months, if Tesla does come in roughly at my forecast, obviously that's an assumption, but if they did, these last 4 quarters would add up to $7.88 GAAP earnings per share. And that would put us at a price to earnings ratio currently, trailing 12 months price to earnings ratio of, 94 times at today's stock price of around $737. So it's not quite the compression that we're seeing normally. Tesla's at trading at like 99 times earnings right now. But again, that's just because of all of the shutdowns and obviously the impairment that is hitting this quarter. If we factored out impairment, if I just deleted those costs, I'm not accounting for like any tax differences or anything on that, but if I just deleted those costs, that would be $1.98 would be my GAAP number. So I suppose, you'd move this up by about 45 cents too, and I'd move into like the 220, 230 range for my non-GAAP number. Which again shows how stark the difference in our expectations here are. But the GAAP number $1.98, and that would be $8.33 trailing 12 months, which would put the price to earnings, excluding that Bitcoin impairment, at 88 times. So that's more realistic, but honestly, what you'd really want to do is take these last 2 quarters, and this would be like the most conservative way you could really get away with it. Those are coming up to $1.40 or $4.40, so you'd be at least 880. Which just some quick math here put you at like an 84 times earnings, based off of one really good quarter and one quarter that was, Tesla's main factory was shut down for half the quarter. So even though it might not seem like it, we are in a stage of pretty dramatic earnings compression. And as long as the factories can stay open in the third quarter, that's going to accelerate, for sure. So I'm very excited about where Tesla's going from here. If they're even close to what my forecasts have, that would make me even more excited. If Wall Street comes in close, I'll definitely be disappointed with that number, and they would definitely miss because of that Bitcoin impairment. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. But again, just want to make clear that even though this Wall Street consensus, pretty close to mine, our forecast really couldn't be more different. And that's just a good reminder too of like why comparing just total sales or earnings per share, even though we're doing that on ShareLoft, there will be more to come on that. But it's really not the best way to gauge accuracy of a forecast because there's a lot more important things in the middle of the report. All right, so energy we didn't talk a ton about. I'm a little bit lower here than Wall Street. Still up pretty significantly quarter over quarter. Last quarter was pretty tough for Tesla Energy. I do have that rebounding. So we'd had that Electrek report about a record for rooftop solar installations in the United States, at least this quarter. I think they had said that that was like 70 megawatts. So I added a little bit to that, assuming that report is true, and seeing a pretty huge jump there in energy generation capacity deployed then. And energy storage, such a guessing game because we don't really know how Tesla accounts for, the delay and when they're actually producing these megapacks and when they actually like turn them on. I'm assuming they recognize the revenue when they get turned on. So it's just our best guess of when Tesla happens to flip the switch and start to recognize those. But Because we've seen a couple of low quarters here relative to what Tesla was doing in the middle of last year, I'm expecting Tesla energy storage deployments to jump back up to, I think that'd be a new record. I'd have to look back at more history, but about 1.5 gigawatt hours is where I'm at. Wall Street, not too different. A little bit lower on storage, a little bit higher on solar. I think those both, could easily make sense. But yeah, the revenue numbers are a little bit different. So I think that's most of the forecast. And then just like want to reemphasize a couple of things here. Well, I guess even before that, so deferred tax allowance, obviously there's a multi-billion dollar balance there. We talk about this every quarter. I don't expect Tesla to recognize that. Certainly would be surprising. Similar note, any FSD deferred revenue, we know Tesla expanded the FSD beta, so they could recognize a little bit of that, roughly $1 billion of FSD deferred revenue. Wouldn't be the entirety of it, but because this has been a tough quarter, they could recognize some of that. So that's one thing. And then foreign exchange impact, as we talked about at the top, or maybe we didn't, but Netflix had called that out in their earnings report as a negative impact for them this quarter. Tesla, has international exposure too. There's certainly been a lot of volatility with exchange rates. So we could see a foreign exchange impact for Tesla as well this quarter, which could, hurt any number of these categories. So that'll be an important thing to watch for. That could definitely, it's not something that I am forecasting. And Tesla doesn't do any hedging on their foreign exchange. So it could be a significant impact that changes things pretty significantly. Redundant there, apologize for that. But so those are kind of a couple of minor points. But then, just like I said at the beginning, the two big things aside from, top line and gross margin here to watch for would be Tesla's outlook on the supply chain. That's what's going to be most important for, Q3 and Q4. That's what is really the critical item for this time around. And sort of within that, any updates on how the 4680 ramp is going, how the ramps of Texas and Berlin are going. Certainly they'll get questions on that, and hopefully they've got some interesting details to share with us on those items. All right, so I think that is pretty much it. Again, go put your estimates on ShareLoft. I'll take a couple of questions here, just because I think, it's always good to do that for earnings. And I did see a couple of super chats here, I think. But yeah, that's the forecast for Q2. I'm not gonna read Mark's chat here, but Tesla is killing ICE vehicles. I agree. But thank you for that, Mark. Thanks, Motor Ready. Just want to scroll through and see if there's questions in here. Mike's saying apparently Gordon Johnson, I assume here, is at $2.58 earnings per share. That would be great. Probably pretty unlikely. Tesla would have to have insane margins, but yeah, certainly nothing like setting a high bar that Tesla will most likely miss, and then talking about that. It's always fun. Okay, let's see. Sorry, I know this is like the most boring part of the already spreadsheet heavy episode, but I think I got through all those, so I don't see a ton of questions. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. And all right, just giving another second here to look for questions, which I'm not seeing a ton of. Good one here. Are we sure that they kept the Bitcoin, and what if they sold it? If they sold Bitcoin, completely different story here. They would potentially, I mean, it would depend on when they sold it within the quarter. If they sold it early in the quarter, they could actually not have any impairment here and actually recognize probably, I mean, there would be potential for a recognized gain. It would really depend on what price they sold it at. So you could have anything from a gain here to a smaller loss from the Bitcoin sale. I don't expect that they did that though. It would be, very surprising. I think Elon had already liked some tweet or something that had alluded to holding. So, yeah, I don't expect them to have sold the Bitcoin, but it's definitely a possibility. Okay, I think I saw one other here. Thank you, Marge. Appreciate that. All right. Well, I'm not seeing a ton of questions, so I hope that means that everything was relatively clear. And I think we'll wrap it up there. So, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for earnings. Again, we'll be doing a live stream as the note comes out. So tune in right after market close. And then we'll do the conference call as we usually do. And yeah, we'll see you guys then. Thank you.